The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Debate. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday morning with us here on 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Faith Debate. You can find us online at WFMD.com. You can also find us on the FM if you're already listening right now on the FM at 99.9 HD2 or the good old standby AM 930 on your old transistor radio dial. And you can find more information about me and the show and the church that I pastor. It's called Household of Faith in Christ. And our website, believe it or not, is called householdoffaithinchrist.com. We were very original on that one. And back for round four of this particular panel, I think it's round four, is Daniel Razvi. You can learn more about Daniel and his church, actually a ministry that his church up in Thurmont is founded, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, something like that, called Conquered by Love Ministries. Their website is conqueredbylove.org. And Stephen Yerger is becoming a regular now on the show. This is probably, I'm going to say, the 10th or 12th show that we've had Steve Yerger. He's one of the members, one of the leaders, really, of a church gathering in southern Pennsylvania called the Shabbat Gathering. And all of our churches, all three of them, happen to be house churches. If you're interested about what that's about, reach out to me and I'll tell you what the ins and outs of that are. It's not to say that the traditional model church with the big buildings are necessarily wrong, but I think there's a lot of advantages to doing the house church thing, and so that's why the three of us are involved in that sort of thing. So we're going to switch a little bit. Last several weeks we've been talking about Bible translations, and we got, you know, feisty a couple of times and started talking about the Hebrew Roots movement and got really animated with some of that stuff. We might dedicate a show or a series of shows more specifically to the Hebrew Roots movement and because we only glazed over the surface of a lot of important things there. But we had a bit of an agenda of what we wanted to talk about over the next couple of weeks, and one of those is something we've been sitting on for goodness, it's got to be at least 6 months. Maybe it's 9 months. We've been sitting on the question of whether or not Islam and Christianity worship the same God. And I wasn't sure if we're going to do it this week or the following week, but Daniel Razvi kind of accidentally teased it last week. So I figured, you know what? Let's just do it next. So there's the question. Do Muslims worship the Christian God? Is one way of phrasing that question. And another way of phrasing the question, do Christians worship the Muslim God? That'd be another way of phrasing that question.
So let me ask, actually, before we get to that one, I think it's important to answer a second question. Do Jews, modern today, do Orthodox Jews today worship the same God that Christians do?
No.
And you, Troy, I think would be in the minority among evangelical Christians in saying that.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was the minority at the cross, so I'm fine.
But what I'm saying is,
they rejected
him. To me,
they
my
rejected
answer,
him.
But my answer,
they're the branches broken off.
But yeah, there's a lot to say about that.
So
Romans 11
so there,
has a lot to say about that.
But there's
that.
A difference between saying that someone is not saved and that God does not accept their worship, and thus they are not going to end up in heaven.
No, historically there's a connection. So historically, I wanted to give you a really quick, pithy answer, but historically there's some sort of a connection to be made. But theologically and as far as the orientation of their worship, they are not worshiping the God of the Bible because they've rejected him.
So let me finish my thought. There is a difference between saying that God does not accept somebody's worship or that they are not actually understanding fully who he is, or all of that, and then saying that they're actually worshiping a false god,
which they are,
a god, and I will
stand firmly on that position.
Okay, I would disagree strongly, and I would say that Jews worship the God of the Torah, who is the creator of the universe, and that is the same God that I worship because God did not change. The Jews' understanding of him is not full and not complete,
no.
But God himself did not change, has never changed,
of course.
Will never change.
Of course.
And so that when they say that they worship the God that the Torah talks about in Genesis and the God of Abraham, the God
That's
of Isaac,
the God of Yehovah.
And the God of Jacob, you can say, well, you don't understand who he really is, but they say, I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
In name only, but not in fact.
But yeah, that's the thing, is in the name only. Fine.
Historically but not theologically speaking. They have the wrong God.
I think we need to hear.
The right God is a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they do not worship that God.
Okay, I got to jump in here because in Romans 11, verse 1, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, descendant of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people who he foreknew. Or do you know that the scripture says the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with the God against Israel, saying, you've killed the prophets, you've torn down the altars, I'm alone left, they're seeking my life. Where there's a, as I'm paraphrasing, it's important to understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that they worship. But Paul says here in Romans, he says, they do it in ignorance. Peter even said,
they go to Jesus and he says, I'm sorry, I never knew you.
Listen, you have to understand the work of God. Them. The work of God needs to have its completeness. In other words, Peter says, men and brethren, they're saying, we just crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They just did. And they come to him, and he preaches in Acts 2 and says, hey, listen. And Peter says, I know you did it in ignorance, but here is the full picture.
Do you evangelize Jews? Sanders. Do you share the gospel with Jews?
I do.
Why? They already worship the one true God.
No.
Because yeah, they need...
No, they don't. No, so now you agree with me.
They're not saved. So they need to be saved.
They need to come
even
to be completed.
Even the demons, believe in God. That's what James says. Even the demons believe in God. They believe in the same God. James says that, right? So Jews believe in God. They don't understand the fullness of who he is, so you have to explain it.
Oprah Winfrey believes in God.
Yeah.
But not the God of the Bible. Not the Trinitarian God, not the one true God.
She doesn't understand all of the aspects of who he is, and so that's what you have to explain.
No, she's worshiping a false god. She's worshiping Moloch or Baal or somebody.
No, so that's an example of a false god, right? Is somebody who doesn't have the same attributes of God. When a Jew
says, the Jews do not worship the God that I worship.
They do.
They have different attributes.
He's the creator. He is the creator. He is the one. There is no other. And the Jew will tell you there is no other.
So they have some attributes in common. Is your wife my wife?
What do we graph?
They're both women. They both have, you know, tatas. They both have, you know, soft places. They both have long hair. They both have beautiful eyes. They both like to cook. They both like to decorate. They're both wonderful mothers. But your wife is not my wife. My wife is not your wife.
That's true.
But the issue is not about the woman. It's what we're talking about is that the fact that, you know, Paul, I mean, in 1 John it says, You have the Father.
That's like saying you got two brothers here, and the one brother, runs away from home, and then later he happens to see his first brother on the street, and he says, "Yeah, Dad said this," and the guy's like, "Oh no, he's not your dad." No, it doesn't. He didn't stop being the dad. The guy still exists, and when the one who ran away, this brother who's no longer in the family. If he says dad, we all know who he's talking about. Yes, dad.
No,
the analogy falls apart
because they've rejected that dad. They disown that dad. That is not my dad anymore. They say.
No, the Jews don't.
You go to the parable of the.
Are the Jews saved?
The Jews are not saved.
So an unsaved person worships the one true God. Are you kidding me?
Well, Catholics. Yeah. What about Catholics?
I believe that there are people in the Roman Catholic Church that are saved in spite of Roman Catholic doctrine and teaching.
Right. But the majority are not, I would say, that are in the Catholic Church.
Catholics have a Trinitarian God. They believe that Jesus is Lord.
Their idols have just as much importance as...
Well, we should get a Roman Catholic on the panel because they would fight tooth and nail that Jesus is God. They would elevate Mary and saints and stuff and all that. So there's reasons why I'm not Roman Catholic.
Right.
So there's all sorts of problems there. But they have a Father, Son, Holy Spirit God. They have a Jesus Christ who is Lord who died
on
the cross.
God?
Absolutely, Jesus is God.
Is the Holy Spirit God?
Absolutely.
And is the Father God?
Absolutely. And the Jews deny that all three of those statements are true.
So what does Paul say?
Jews do not deny that third part, the Father. The Jews believe that third part, the Father.
If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father.
But that's why you have to see what Paul said. He said, if
they've
been broken off.
Don't argue with me. Argue with Scripture. The only way to the Father is through the Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father.
I agree. They're not going to heaven.
But we're saying
they don't have the Father. They don't know the Father without the Son.
No, but when they say God, who else are they talking about?
I don't know.
They're not talking about Baal.
There are people who work in this building. I used to work here for a lot of years, and so maybe some people have had some change of heart over the years, but the overwhelming of them would not hold to the view that you and I hold. They wouldn't call themselves Christians necessarily. Right. But they might pray. They're a spiritual person. They believe in a higher power. They have a God.
It is is not the God of the Old Testament. It's not the creator of the universe. It's not the one.
The way you asked the question at the start was, do today's Jews, today's Orthodox Jews of today, do they worship the true God? And the answer is no. They've been cut off. They've rejected the one true God.
Have they been broken off permanently? Have they been broken off?
They can be grafted back in. And at that point, they will be then worshiping the one true God.
Right, but you don't have to explain to them who God is, the Father. You have to explain to them who the Son is.
That's the point.
But you got to there's some aspect. If we had Oprah Winfrey, I mentioned her before, we'll use her again. If we had her in this room, there are certain aspects of how she understands her idea of God that would be accurate. Right?
I think you're comparing apples and oranges.
No, they're both fruit, so I might be okay with that. I'm not sure.
Good comeback there.
Yeah.
So this is not generally how the conversation progresses when someone asks, do Muslims worship the same God as Christians?
Yeah, because I don't think the Muslims worship the same God either.
Because, right, but you are logically consistent.
By definition. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about consistency.
But let's just say for
inconsistency is a sign of a failed argument, a very famous apologist likes to say.
So that we can go someplace that some of our listeners are going to be as well. Let's just assume for a second. I know you don't like this, but let's just assume for a second that you were able to answer the Jewish question.
How does he know I'm not going to like it? I might love it.
That you could answer the Jewish question, yeah, they worship God, that God doesn't accept their worship. Kind of where I kind of answered that, right? Let's just
don't even know God.
But just assume
for a
second.
Just to make it clear. Okay.
They don't. No, I agree. They don't know God.
So how can they worship someone they don't know?
That's what Paul's point was on Mars Hill. But his point was that they had.
Mars Hill was to the Greeks and the unknown God.
But pause for a second, though. Assuming that one of our listeners is listening and saying, yeah, I mean, I think Jews, I mean, when they say God, they mean the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They just are blind. They don't see all of him, but they see part of him. Okay, I get it. I get what you're saying there. To me, that's where I'm saying it's logically inconsistent to then go and say, well, but Muslims worship some false idol God. Well, no, because if you ask a Muslim who God is, he'll say this relatively the same thing that a Jew is going to tell you, which is that he's the God of the Old Testament.
You're actually making my argument, though, on the Jew question. Because you're saying if something's going to be consistent,
I'm saying that you're consistent. Well, wrong, but you're consistent.
Well, are you arguing that the Muslim Allah is the same as
the Christian
Yahweh?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Jehovah. Allah is Jehovah.
Oh, my gosh. That is like
that's
heresy.
As exposed to Muslim. Yeah. Well, because see,
Allah is Jehovah. And let me
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
So I'm worshiping the Muslim God. I am. Troy Skinner is worshiping the Muslim God.
Allah is not the Muslim God. Allah is the Christian God.
When I'm worshiping God, I'm worshiping the same God that Islam is worshiping? No, I am not. I reject that wholeheartedly.
If you're a Christian in Arabia and you pray, you actually pray to Allah, because Allah is just the Arabic word for God.
Right, the word for God. Yeah, so what?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to say Allah if you happen to be a native Arabic-speaking person and you're praying to God, you're going to say Allah. That's what your Bible is going to say in your translation.
Yeah, not everybody named Troy is married to Dina.
Well, that's what
the names don't mean anything.
But Allah is.
What's the weight that stands behind that name?
Well, if you ask a Muslim what is Allah, who is Allah, they will explain. They will say he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the creator of all the universe. He is everything the Torah says, and they will actually go further than the Jews. Muslims will tell you that Allah is also the God of the New Testament. And he is they will not say that Jesus is the Son of God. I grant you that. There's plenty of things that make them not saved, okay? Just like there's plenty of things that make Jehovah's Witnesses not saved. But
God is by definition Trinitarian. If you don't have a Father, Son, Holy Spirit view of God, you do not have the God.
You have only a
that's
partial
why, that, that's
understanding.
That's why I said about the Jews. It's the same problem.
You have
to evangelize them. I don't say that's out of hatred. I'm hoping that the Jews and Muslims will all come to a realization that, oh my gosh, I'm worshiping a false God, something that isn't real, that doesn't exist.
But that's
I'm
not claiming the realization.
It's the Father.
But that's not the realization that they have. When a Jew becomes saved, they realize, oh, God had a son. His name was Jesus. Okay, cool. Messiah came. Now they realize that. They don't stop believing.
He's more than Messiah, though.
But they don't stop believing all the things they already believe about God.
In other words, what happens to them?
They stop believing certain things they believe about God because they don't believe that God is Trinitarian. Right?
Maybe you should talked to some Messianic Jews that really are Jewish and come from Orthodox background.
They're Messianic, though. They're Christians.
But right, but how they came to
How did they come?
They didn't come by believing that they believe in a false god.
No.
They just added Jesus to their
theology. They realized that the Jesus was the fulfillment of the Messiah.
Well, you know, they could have gotten there by evil means, but God can use it for good.
Well,
but that's not an evil means.
But see, you have to, all through the scriptures it says, for the Father's sake, for the sake of the fathers, there's always a remnant that goes all through the history, all through the Jew, the city, a man, everything about it. It points to Messiah. We understand that because we can look back and go, yeah, that's obvious.
Right. So,
but when you're put in a community and you're not told, and you're consistently being told the Babylonian lie all the way back when they were in exile in Babylon for 70 years, they had to make stuff up in order to exist as a people outside the land, outside the temple, outside Jerusalem. When they had to go into captivity to Babylon, when King
they had to make what up? I'm a little lost.
They had to come up with a religious existing, a ceremony, a type of an existence to keep a community together until they could get back into the land. And when they went back into the land, and that's where a lot of the modern-day Pharisees came from.
But what does it have to do with
identity of God? But what it has to do is that there was certain things that happened to them that brought them to a place where the rejection of the Messiah was because of the leadership. The rejection of the Messiah was because of the Pharisees.
No, the rejection of the Messiah is because of sin in their heart.
You got to understand that the story behind, they added stuff. They mixed stuff in together.
Romans 1 would disagree. They had enough evidence to understand that there is a one true God. But because of hardness of heart and sin in the heart, we reject
him. Well, brother, you could say that to everybody.
Exactly. And I do.
You know?
Yeah, that's what he's saying is that everybody's the same. You're either saved or you're not. If you're not saved, you don't have God. But that's just like saying someone grew up they grew up in the most perfect church you could ever have. Whether Troy's church is that way, right? He wouldn't want to say that. But let's just say
it was perfect
doctrine, and every Sunday they heard only the perfect doctrine. There's no errors at all for 20, 25 years, 30 years, whatever.
That's the aim, anyway.
And they never got saved. They never got saved. They said, well, I'm not going to bow the knee. I'm not going to get saved. Whatever the reason was.
Okay.
If you ask them, who God is, and they tell you, they're not saved either, but they know who God is. They know some parts of him at least. They don't have a full understanding.
But they don't worship him. The question is, do we worship the same God? Satan does not worship God. He knows who God is, but he does not worship. In fact, that's the problem, right? He rebels against him. You're either worshiping God or you're in rebellion against him. Those are your options.
Well, Korah was worshiping God. He just did it in the wrong way, and so God killed him. Korah had all this incense, but he wasn't burning incense to Baal. He brought incense to Yahweh, but Yahweh opened the ground up and swallowed him up, right? Jehovah, God.
Well, let's take it in context. He was actually, because he was challenging Moses' authority and said, we have every right to be right in there with you, Moses.
And we're Levites. He's using God's name, Jehovah, and he's talking.
But it was the challenge of the authority that got him swallowed up,
The point is, he was using strange fire. And what God had commanded not to be using these bowls of incense and things like that.
No, you're mixing up the strange fire with the two suns.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so
the point is, those people weren't worshiping Baal or Molech or Ra. They were worshiping God, the one that we're talking about.
Right.
And God did not accept their worship. Moreover, he killed them. Okay, so obviously they were not saved.
Yeah, they paid a penalty for disobedience.
Obviously they were not saved, but that doesn't mean they weren't actually worshiping God. There's a difference between worshiping God badly and worshiping an idol. There's a difference between worshiping God badly and worshiping an idol.
But I reject the premise. I don't know. I'm not at least going to automatically accept the premise that they were unsaved.
Well, you have to go back into what is being saved.
Just because they were unfaithful in that moment and did something wrong doesn't mean they weren't
saved. Okay, being saved from what? Okay, they were deliverer, saved them out of Egypt. They were saved when they went through the Red Sea. They were saved when they came out of the wilderness. They were saved when they went through the Jordan into the Promised Land. And yet they had issues and problems all along the way, but there was a deliverer that was doing the saving.
Yeah, but that's a separate argument from modern-day Christians
saying
Jews and Muslims.
I'm just responding to you know, salvation.
And all those are pictures of the ultimate salvation we're pointing to with Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah. Right? And let me be clear. I'm not advocating any sort of ecumenical movement. I'm not advocating for anything saying, oh, there's multiple ways to heaven. You can be a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim and you can all go to heaven. I'm not saying any of that. Okay? All I'm saying, and it, you may call it semantics, but there's a very big difference between praying to an idol and praying to God when you're not saved and in a manner that God does not like or accept. Okay? There is a difference. And I make the distinction. They could both be wrong, okay? But there's a difference between adultery and homosexuality, too. Those are both sins, but those are they're different, right? They're not the same. There is a fundamental difference. One can be remedied if the two people were not married and they can get married. That's the biblical remedy for something. And the other one, there is no remedy because same-sex couples cannot exist. So in the same way, the remedy, and actually I think that's a great analogy, because now the remedy, if you go back, if you're worshiping Baal, the remedy is to stop worshiping Baal and start worshiping God. If you're worshiping God in a only in only parts of his attributes you know, and God doesn't accept that worship, the remedy is to learn the rest about him and continue to worship
and
him
I would
in
say,
the correct way.
And I would say for the Muslim, the remedy is to stop worshiping the quote-unquote God or the Allah of the Quran, and start worshiping the God of the Bible. Because Baal is pretty powerful too, I'm sure.
Yeah, but
right? That's where all the judgment came through, the God dealing with his people, because they would quit following him and they would go follow after false gods.
But even the Quran says that Allah is the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Bible. It says that.
The Quran...
But a lot of other Messiah. Things that I disagree with in the Quran.
Well, obviously. But it also rejects the Trinity. And it misunderstanding of the Trinity, because it seems to indicate that that the belief is that the Christian idea of a triune God would be a Father, Son, and like Mother Mary or something. That seems to be kind of what they're trying to teach there.
So, some sects believe that, but the majority.
But it says specifically, but there is not three. I mean, that's an English translation that's right out of the Quran. There is not three. So their God is not three. So by definition, their God is not the God that I worship. And their God is not the God that I worship.
Like I said, they understand part of who he is, and the part that they understand is correct part, that he's the creator, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of that's correct.
They believe all
loving, all merciful, all kind. These are all attributes that they say. And the completely... powerful, nothing else more powerful than God. He controls everything. He's infallible, cannot do wrong, cannot sin. All those things are true about God.
We don't have a piece of God. You either have God or you don't. You're not a little bit, you have God. It's not. You're not a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. You either have God or you don't.
But Troy, that's disingenuous, because Paul says even the Christians only see partly. Now we see partly and shaded as in a mirror, and eventually we'll see face to face.
Yeah, we only see partly, but we worship truly. Right?
Yes, because we have sufficient knowledge of God in order to be saved.
So Islam can see partly things that are true about who is actually God, so they get some attributes about God that are right, but they don't worship truly.
Because
they don't have the Son, and you can't have the Father without the Son.
I'm not saying that any of the Jews or the Muslims worship truly. What I'm saying is that they worship who they worship is the same God. God does not accept the worship of a Jew who's not saved.
I think the disconnect is what you're saying is unless they accept the Son, they don't have the Father. And in both counts, that's what the scriptures say. It says you must, if you reject the Son, then you don't have the Father.
And we might have to, if we want to, we might have to pick this up and do another part of the show on it or something.
That hasn't been said.
Because we're out of time. We've got like 30 seconds. I got to start to wrap this up. Anyway, this was spirited.
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned brawl on the Faith Debate Show. So Daniel Razvi was one of the brawlers. I'm Troy Skinner, also one of the brawlers. And Stephen Yerger, he's kind of the voice of reason. I've got to get him to brawl a little bit more. Anyway, you can follow us online, WFMD.com and householdoffaithinchrist.com. Till next week, 167 and a half hours away from now. God bless. We'll